Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Almost as soon as the U.S. Supreme Court legalized so-called same-sex marriage, we saw the push for normalizing transgenderism begin. LGBTQ plus activists are very busy indoctrinating our kids through public education and, unfortunately, some private schools. Through entertainment, superheroes, cartoon characters, children's books, mental health organizations like the APA, and, unfortunately, too many counselors. Parents don't know how to respond, and they feel helpless. How dangerous is this, and are there steps that can be taken? My guest today is David Pickup. He's a licensed marriage and family therapist and a doctoral candidate in psychology. Thanks, David, for being with us.
You bet. Happy to be here.
Just a question. How can... I know you're a member of the APA.
Yes.
How do they respond to membership of radical, quote-unquote, radicals like you, who don't adhere to their interpretation of or to their methodology in addressing those with unwanted same-sex attraction and such?
Well, to me personally, they don't correspond with me very much because they essentially just leave me alone.
Okay.
Uh-huh. But I have had an official letter from their ethics office that stated unequivocally that what I'm doing, which I described to them in person, that they're not going to file any ethical unethical charges at all.
Okay.
Against what I do or me.
Okay.
As a member.
Okay. So they just kind of let you do what you just kind of let you do what you're doing, and they don't interfere in any way at this point anyway.
At this point, that's
yeah.
correct.
Yeah. Now, just for the audience's sake, what is the position of the APA when it comes to those to counseling those with unwanted same-sex attraction or gender confusion?
Well, they believe now not all, in fact, a lot of APA members who just aren't talking about it do
mm-hmm.
not believe in the official position of the APA. But the official position of the APA is that homosexuality and transgenderism are genetically occurred, in other words, a natural form of human development. And so any therapy to make any sort of change whatsoever is, they claim, is not good, hardly ever works, and is not recommended at all, which conflicts with their own statements about the nature of what they know about homosexuality and transgenderism. So that tells you the conflictive position that they're actually in, but they just aren't really dealing with it.
Right. Now, didn't the APA... I think it was back in the early 70s or so, isn't it around that time period that they changed their stance on homosexuality?
They changed their stance on homosexuality originally in 1972,
okay.
even though the majority of the clinicians didn't believe. It
right.
was just a few people, in other words, who made the decision. And the same kind of thing happened in 2015, when they changed the diagnostic manual for disorders concerning transgenderism, or in other words, gender dysphoria.
Mm-hmm.
And so in both cases, they had no science to prove anything they were saying, no valid research, no conclusive research of any worth, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
They had some studies, but they're not conclusive at all.
Right.
In fact, their methods are quite questionable. And so what happened is they merely changed their opinions. That's all they did in both cases. It's especially egregious in the case of gender dysphoria and transgenderism because there's hardly any science that they can point to at all. They essentially discarded, just as an act of will, gender dysphoria or transgenderism was something that was a disorder.
Okay.
It's very confusing in the diagnostic manual now. Again, confusion reigns, but
yeah.
they won't talk about that confusion.
True.
They basically say in the new diagnostic manual that in layman's terms, it's expressed this way. If you like being transgender, it's normal. If you don't like it, it's a disorder, which is ridiculous to say that.
The exact opposite of what it should be, yeah.
Right.
And no wonder so confused. I mean, it is confusing to folks. And, you know, parents, I've read numerous stories of parents whose child begins to identify as transgender or tells their parents that, you know, I'm Johnny, but I feel like Janie. And the parents take their child to a therapist, and in too many cases, that therapist tells the parents that if you don't affirm your child, if you don't affirm Johnny that he, quote unquote, really is Janie, then he's committed suicide.
Right.
And so parents don't know what to do because they know that their son is a son, but yet they're being told if they don't affirm him as a daughter that he's going to commit suicide. So in a situation like that, what would you recommend parents do?
The word needs to get out everywhere that this issue is actually, even though it feels complicated, it feels terrible, it feels confusing, it feels really rough, and emotionally speaking, it is. However, what parents need to know everywhere is that this matter is actually much more simple than they realize. All they need to do is to sit there and ask the therapist, how do they know that transgenderism is going to save that person? How do they know that transgenderism is healthy? Where are the studies? And they need to just stay quiet and let that therapist answer the question. And in probably all cases, mm-hmm. that therapist is not going to be able to point to any research at all. And the parents will then have confirmation that that therapist, although maybe well-intentioned, has absolutely no proof of what they're saying at all. And that should tell them to take them to a therapist who knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
And who knows how to resolve gender dysphoria at the root trauma causes, which always come from early childhood. So the dysphoria naturally, which prevents suicide, by the way, naturally dissipates over time.
Yeah, because I've read also that I don't remember what the percentage is, but those who are even affirmed in their claims that they're transgender, there's still a high percentage who do commit suicide. And
that's right.
You know, as you're saying, they have not resolved the root problems in the affirmation that is totally ignored, and they haven't even delved into what is causing the confusion.
That's correct. And so the second major point for parents to simply do is look at the science, which is available on any computer at any moment for their own look, or they can contact the therapist to help them go through that research, is that the latest statistics show that most people who have transgender treatment, operations for body parts, mm-hmm. hormonal medications, things like that, that their suicide symptoms in most cases either stay the same or in many cases increase.
Wow.
And so the parent needs to confront the therapist with that information as well. And so it's actually very simple. It just feels very horrendous and complicated. And so parents don't need to believe that they are trapped. They do need, however, which is going to be the greatest difficulty, is to explore with a therapist, in my opinion, with that child, the causes of gender dysphoria. Those mm-hmm. causes will often be hidden under a massive amount of unperceived trauma, or even if it is perceived, they won't know how to deal with that effectively. But there's going to find, at least in my experience, mm-hmm. there's going to be found in every case, a huge unresolved amount of trauma in very early childhood. And one usually needs a professional to resolve that. But the parent, the relationship connection, the security connection, the love bond, whatever you want to call it, between these kids and the parents, for whatever reason, is not there. And that's one reason why these kids opt for it's an automatic response. Kids will essentially, especially when they're young, they'll do anything, including being another gender that feels safe to them, in order to be safe mm-hmm. from this chaos that mm-hmm. they experience in their early childhood. When you talk about that, then parents can actually help their children and their own relationship with those children much more safe, loving, bonded. When that takes place, gender dysphoria always at least reduces, if not dissipates.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
they usually need help, very much so, with a professional therapist who knows what they're doing and how to affect that kind of relationship and also deal with the individual trauma within the mind of the client.
Well, what happens, I know there's several counties here in Pennsylvania that have banned, like Allegheny County, Erie County, Philadelphia County, you know, those counties as a whole, plus some cities in Pennsylvania, have banned talk therapy for those with unwanted same-sex attraction or gender dysphoria.
Yes.
So in those cases, therapists are facing fines if they practice, quote unquote, reparative therapy. What should a parent do if they live in a county or a city that has banned talk therapy for their child?
Well, it's kind of simple. You go outside the county. The last thing a parent needs is to worry about, or a therapist to worry about their careers, or to worry about being chastised or found to be breaking laws. The last thing they need.
Mm-hmm, right.
So the quick thing is to do is to find the help outside the county, which there can be. But more likely, at least in my experience, they're going to need to consult a therapist who's an expert in these fields.
Mm-hmm.
And many times that means they'll need to resort to online therapy,
yeah,
where they can get the help from people in other areas of the country that are expert on these issues.
Right, right. As a licensed marriage and family therapist, what do you do?
In a philosophical and simple way to put it, in layman's terms, is I help the client resolve all the trauma that's producing all of these feelings, including unmet needs, which are often are unperceived, but it's clear once you ask the once you gain a history of the emotional history of the child.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, even though it's a very long story, very short, when that happens, the symptoms of these feelings either dissipate or they greatly and automatically reduce.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens as a result of that is what I call the rise of the confident, secure, authentic self. That's what really happens in real therapy, real change therapy. But that, of course, is something that is not being touched, talked about, or debated at all in the current professional climate because, well, in my opinion, it's become very political.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, what hasn't? I mean, we have pandemics that have become, you know,
right,
become political. So we're in a situation where therapists are not, I will put, encouraged to mm-hmm. actually deal with the issues that are impacting their clients, to get to the root issues. So that leaves therapists in a quandary, as well as the parents of children who are having these unwanted feelings. And then the children are the ultimate victims.
Right.
To me, change therapy, reparative therapy, whatever you want to call it, sexual orientation change therapy, is working. And that is why the LGBTQ activists and their allies are working so hard to ban that therapy, because it's working. Otherwise, they wouldn't be targeting it.
That's true. I believe that. And part of the problem is that a lot of these people are gay or transgender themselves. And so to question their foundational belief systems of the self, mm-hmm. in psychological terms, actually, creates too much cognitive dissonance. They mm-hmm. can't handle if someone else believes something opposite to them, so much so that they will do anything and literally, well, almost anything to sabotage this kind of therapy, sabotage this issue politically, because to consider another viewpoint emotionally, it's hard for them to handle that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they have so embraced this lifestyle, they don't want to even consider that possibly they weren't born homosexual or transgender.
Right.
Again, the kids are the kids are the guinea pigs, and I've noticed, and may just be my observation from the outside looking in, but it seems like as families have become more dysfunctional, as we've had more broken families, that we've seen an increase, a big increase in children who identify as transgender or homosexual. Have you seen?
Now that's,
okay, go ahead.
Yeah, that's my personal belief as well. Now,
okay.
I can't prove that
right.
But I do believe that is one of, at least, the major factors for this increase. If attachment in early childhood, if emotional bonding, if the family system is whole, then there's going to be much less, hardly any chance,
mm-hmm.
Unless we're talking about sexual abuse by others,
right,
of a person who's going to be affected by these issues. I just believe that.
Yeah. And, you know, those who are, I believe also that those who are brought up in a strong family, a functional family, that they will not be as impacted by this indoctrination that they're under. But the activists continue the indoctrination, whether it be in public school
right.
or the local library or the school library with their books or comic books with their superheroes who are pronouncing, you know, announcing themselves as bisexual or transgender or homosexual or whatever. That, but still, I can see a confusion happening in the minds of these kids. So there has to be a continued dialogue or a continued openness that the parents are open so that their kids know that they can come to them, the parents, and talk to them about anything. And
yes.
to get, you know, their confusion straightened out if they hear something in school or read a, or the teacher reads a book to them, you know, first graders, you know,
yes.
you know whatever grade, but, or, you know, parents need to know what lessons they're, especially the reading lessons, the required reading list, they need to know what that is in the schools because sometimes that's just atrocious. I'll
yes.
use that word.
That's right.
So,
in short, parents need to love their child,
mm-hmm.
secure the relationships, and be educated with self-expression allowed by everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So that, because if they don't express that kind and live on a daily basis that kind of love and bonding, then the kids are going to bond with someone else.
Yeah, exactly.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
And that's often the people in schools who literally have, and some people have very good intentions, but they have no truth to what they're proposing. And those are the folks that are damaging children.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely see as the number of dysfunctional families have grown here in the U.S. that these kids
right.
who are looking for love, the LGBTQ crowd is more than willing to embrace them. And then the kids feel like the you know they, like they belong somewhere. I think that's one reason why so many LGBTQ events build themselves as family friendly,
sure.
even though that's not the case in most situations that I've been in anyway.
Yeah.
Where I've gone to such
that's
events
right.
just to observe. So what advice would you give to the general public if their school? Or their, you know, if the school is considering adding sexual orientation, gender identity to policies, or if they live in a county that is considering, county or city that is considering banning talk therapy for those with unwanted
yes.
same-sex attraction, et cetera.
Educate. The information is out there if they'll just look for it. And if they'll if they are having difficulty in understanding anything, then go to the people who can, through solid research and solid experience, be able to indicate the truth of what these issues are and how to resolve them. In other words, you question. You go to school board meetings and ask them one simple question. How do you know what you're saying is true?
Mm-hmm.
And if they can't give evidence, then you hammer them until they either give you evidence, because they're your children.
Right, exactly.
And or until if they can't give evidence, which is probably going to happen, they challenge those school board members up to and including removal of the school board member. That the school board is there to serve the children, not the other way around, and the parents.
Right. Yeah. And we've definitely seen parents confronting school boards across the country, which is something that needs to be done in the cases of liberal school board members.
Right.
Which unfortunately, there's too many of those. So. Do you have any websites that you would recommend that parents go to get the truth? Because there's so
yes,
much
I do.
False. Okay, yep. What's
yes,
that?
Yes, I do. There's my own, which uh-huh. is David Pickup, LMFT. That stands for Licensed Marriage Family Therapist. DavidPickupLMFT.com. And then there's TherapeuticChoice.com or The Alliance. If they just enter the words in their browser,
mm-hmm.
Homosexuality and The Alliance, the Alliance website will just come up, and they'll find a massive amount of information that's science-based, but also anecdotally based
mm-hmm.
on these issues. They can also access personal stories of change on voicesofchange.net. Well, I always recommend a person by the name of Walt Heyer,
oh, yeah.
who's a great example of someone who's overcome their transgender issues extremely well, and his website is Walt Heyer. com. That's Walt, like it sounds, and then HEYER.com. And they'll be able to get a lot of resources in those websites. There are more, But those are some of the ones that will also lead to other
websites
that will give information.
Okay, fantastic. Because that's, you know, and you travel all over the country. My
understanding. Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
I tend to travel about 5 or 6 times a year. It's increasing because people are wanting to know, especially churches, are wanting to know what the issues really are and how to find out the truth. And so, and then I also train other therapists throughout the world. I've just finished training therapists in these therapies, the ones that work, I might add.
Right.
I've trained therapists from Singapore and also Turkey. And also a therapist in some of the states in America. So,
fantastic.
Quite busy.
Wow. So you go to churches? You're available to speak at churches?
Yes, I'll speak for any church that needs me to come and maybe do a one-hour seminar or sometimes a two-day seminar, things like that.
Okay.
So the information is there. Also, my colleagues, there's about 20 of us, in my opinion. There's around 20 of us that know a lot about these issues who do the same kind of valid work, who get results, and so I would, if they contact me, I can also recommend my colleagues as well, who are licensed therapists as well.
Okay, fantastic. And your website is davidpickuplmft.com.
You got it.
Do encourage our listeners to check out your website for sure, and
the other ones that you gave.
Yeah, and thanks so much for your time, David, and have a good rest of the day.
You're very welcome. You bet. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.